great to have you and to see you today as well. Debbie and I got a chance to be away for a little bit and got back yesterday. So, man, talk about these guys just blowing us away coming back. How about for our worship team today? Pastor Bailey for bringing the word last week and our staff. It's great to know that we go and with great confidence. Obviously, so much happens, continues to happen in great fashion. So we're excited for you. And it's just a chance. I know some of you got into life groups. We're going to talk a little bit about that, following these sessions that we share on Sunday morning. Man, we had a great sign up for a lot of different life groups and a good chance for you to engage and to follow up with us a little bit more. So that's really cool. We're excited to see that happen. So we began a series that's going to kind of parallel through this season of life groups as well that we've entitled In the Face of Giants. And Pastor Bailey led us off, kind of did the intro last week. I'm gonna kind of extend that intro a little bit more today just to get us kind of all on the same page, especially not only those of us that are here on Sunday, but again, especially those of you that are in groups, that you'll get kind of the full embodiment about where this series is going to take us. So the backdrop of the series that we're going to be in for the next couple of weeks, this In the Face of Giants, I know comes from probably a pretty familiar story to us in the Old Testament. And I thought a lot about it while we were away. I mean, I would say for those of us that certainly have grown up in church, the story of David and Goliath, I'm sure is really familiar. You've probably heard it a million times. But I also recognize that there might be a lot of you that didn't grow up in church, and maybe there are some whispers of hearing this story, or quite honestly, there might be some of you here today that say, Pastor Jim, I really don't know what you're talking about. And so we're going to look at some ways, because we are going to bring some new and challenging direction to this very familiar story that will prove to be kind of new and some new revelation for us as we kind of go on this journey together. So it's a story about a little shepherd boy by the name of David who one day goes down into the valley to fight a massive giant by the name of Goliath. And Pastor Bailey opened us up to this big preaching point for us last week that really helps to kind of set the tone that what is our response as we review this really familiar story again. And it's this: the enemy wants you to be paralyzed, to be immobile and stuck. But Jesus didn't come to the earth and certainly die on the cross for us so that we could settle for a reduced amount of God's very best in our life. Jesus intended us to live our life to the full and to know that we can freely walk in the power that Jesus has made available to us through his work on the cross for us. And so as we look at this understanding about these giants in our life, we recognize that in order to defeat our giants, we first have to understand that even though our giant might be pretty big, how many would say with me today that we have to believe that Jesus is bigger? Can you say that with me today? That no matter what we face, there has to be a foundational truth that we want to really lay for you today, is that no matter what I'm facing, I must believe and I must act in knowledge to know that Jesus is bigger. That there is no giant that's going to stand in front of God's purpose for my life, and that God wants me to walk in the authority that came to me through Jesus Christ, his love and his salvation over me. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to take an inward look at maybe what are the potential giants that are in your life or have been hanging around in some of the valleys of your life. So what does that mean? Well, in the Bible story, we learn about a giant that was so powerful that he paralyzed an entire army, literally thousands of men, for 40 days. 40 days they hid behind the rocks. They stayed at a distance. They dare not walk down into the valley because of the presence of this giant that was defying them. And believe it or not, many of us have giants in our lives that have been immobilizing us from God's plan and God's authority, not just for 40 days, but for some, maybe like 40 years. Giants like rejection and anger and fear and addiction. You realize that there has been a giant in your life that you have wished to get rid of, that has immobilized you, that has mocked you, maybe day in and day out. And I want you to listen, because here's the crazy part, maybe more apt, the sad part of this kind of life or this kind of story, is day after day, Goliath would come down to the valley and challenge was just one man that would come down and fight him for a winner-take-all battle. That whoever wins, the entire losing side must become the servants of whoever wins. And for 40 days, day after day after day, this army was insulted. They were mocked. They were intimidated until it became normal. I want that to settle into your spirit for just a minute. You see, this is all they began to know. This is all they realized, that this is what life is going to be, I guess. I guess this is what I have to put up with. I guess this is my lot in life. It got to the point where the giant became a part of their everyday life. And I couldn't but think, when understanding this story, that there are probably some, maybe more than some in this room, that can identify exactly where Israel's army was in this moment. This giant that has been plaguing your life, again, maybe more than 40 days, maybe it's been a long, long time. Maybe his insults, his mockery of looking for freedom or understanding this life that God had promised to you now is just something that you just put up with. That you want to believe, that you want to have hope, but he's a giant. He's a killer in your life. And you just don't know how to get victory. I think it's astonishing that the challenge was just for one man to come down. It wasn't for a legion. It wasn't for a group of SEAL team to come down, but it was one. And a lot of you, that's just the way you feel today. You feel alone. You feel like it's all on your shoulders. You feel like you can't bring it up to anybody because of the intimidation, because of the power and the pressure that the enemy has put over your life. And so you, to this point, have just accepted it. This is just the way life is going to be. So I want you to hear me today and over these next couple of weeks, because there are going to be some fundamental teaching points that I believe that you have got to understand so you don't miss the victory, not only in which this story tells, but who Jesus truly is in your life. So I think the first thing that Pastor Bailey shared last week is that we have to understand is that if you are familiar with this story, or as we unpack it over these next couple of weeks, is that you are not David in the story. That we have to realize that it's not up to us to go out and face the giant, that Jesus is our defender. That Jesus is the one who has promised to fight for us. And so I know when I was growing up kind of in youth camps or youth group or in church, like obviously the big preaching point was like, we got to be David. We gotta get out from everybody else, and we gotta go down in the valley, and we gotta face this big giant. And you know, it was sometimes a rah-rah, you know, and the evangelist or the pastor was kind of firing up a bunch of teenagers, like, let's go down and take the giant. But the truth is that we're not David in the story. Jesus is David in the story. There's great victory in that. There's great calm for me to know that I've got one, like we sang today. There is one who fights for me. Can somebody say amen today? There is one who goes down to take on the giants in my life. We're going to talk more about that today. Number two is that worship is the ultimate key for a sustained and victorious life. You see, what worship does, and not just what we call worship of singing songs, but this idea is that we've got to put Jesus in the right focus, that we have to live a life to know that Jesus is our King, that Jesus is on the throne, that we fully understand who Jesus is and what his promise is over life, and that we live a life of worship, honoring and knowing that we are able and enabled to walk behind him, knowing that he is our victor. And then today, a little bit more, is to realize that the devil was defeated on the cross of Jesus Christ. See, but I want you to know that although the devil was defeated, his body still wiggles. In other words, your giant is dead, but your giant is still deadly. Now, let me explain that for you just a moment. I grew up in Clearfield County, central Pennsylvania at its finest. And every year in Clearfield County, they held what was called a rattlesnake roundup. People would go into the hills and try to bag as many rattlesnakes as they could. Look what you big city dwellers of Erie, Pennsylvania missed out on all your life, right? Like, who wouldn't want to be a part of that kind of growing up, right? So after the catch, the hunter would dispatch the head of the snake, and still for a time, the body would continue to wiggle. It was weird, for sure, but not much of an issue in what was happening. What was still an issue was the head. Because even though the snake was dead, there was still plenty of venom left in those fangs. And the hunters would never just throw the heads away, because if someone happened to step on one or come in contact with those fangs, things could get deadly. Does it make sense? You see, the giant in your life is dead, but his body still wiggles. He still sends out signs that he's in charge. He still whispers into our ears that he still has power over your life. And so as we go through this series, what we have to believe scripturally and what we have to understand today is, number one, is that your giant is dead. Your giant is dead. Now, I know for some of you today, you're not going to believe me because you said, "Pastor, listen, it's hard for me to believe you because I've been wrestling with him all week. It's hard for me to buy that because I could tell you what the last couple of months have been like in my life for me to believe you to say that my giant is dead." But listen, if we can't believe that, then the cross of Jesus is of no effect. What we're really saying is that Jesus is going to have to go back on the cross to get you free from whatever giant you're facing. Romans chapter 6 says, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die ever again." You see, so what we have to believe, what Scripture teaches us, is the cross was the ultimate defeat of the enemy. We realize that the cross of Jesus Christ has killed the power and the understanding of the enemy's control over our lives. The finished work of Christ must become foundational for you and I to live a full and a free life. Genesis chapter 3, you might remember, prophesied that one day that Eve's offspring would one day what? Crush the serpent's head. Her offspring is the hero of our story, and he dealt the devil a defining and deafening blow through the victory of the cross. John chapter 1, verse 3 says this: "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." Listen, I know that some of you have been fighting and battling your giant for a long time. That might be hard for you to believe, even these words that I'm talking to you right now. And so we pray and we believe that the power of God's word for you and I today is the power that will set you free once and for all. That you will begin to understand that your giant is dead. You say, "Pastor, how can you convince me of that?" Well, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20, Jesus said this of himself, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus speaking. Everybody say that, all authority. Come on, say it with me. All, come on, say it again. All, say it again. How do we know that our giant is dead? Because of the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, all authority. authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven, all authority on earth is mine. You see, Jesus is not flimsy. He's not frail. He's not helpless. How many know that all means all? The reason Jesus came to earth was to crush the power of sin and death and to declare that the work is finished, that our giant is dead. Let me go a little further. Colossians chapter 2 talks about the all-sufficiency of Christ. Not only is there all authority, but it is the all-sufficiency of Christ. Verse 9 and 10, for in Christ lives the fullness of God. Jesus is not a lackey of the Godhead. He's not some estranged son. He's not a number two. The Bible tells us that all authority, that all the fullness of God, all the fullness of God dwells in the body of Christ. There is nothing that is greater. There is nothing that scares him. There is nothing that sends him to flight. His power and authority is above all, so that you and I, what, are complete. Come on, somebody say that today. You and I are what? We are complete through our union, through our fellowship, through our salvation with Christ, who is what? The head over every ruler and over every authority. Listen, the devil is not over you. Jesus is over you. His power, his lies, his intimidation is not over you. The blood of Jesus Christ is over you. Come on, somebody with me today. Why? How do we know that? Because all authority is Christ. Because all sufficiency is through Christ. What do you mean, Pastor Jim? By sufficiency, we mean that Jesus is not just enough. He is more than enough. He is all that we need. He is not lacking. He is not inadequate. He is fully competent to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, let me share this with you. Just like people who misunderstand the authority of Christ and have this sense that Christ would have to go back on the cross or Jesus would have to do something extraordinary to help me to defeat the giant in my line, we realize that if we don't understand the authority and the sufficiency of Christ, then we tend to live life as it all depends on me. And let me tell you, that's deadly. That's deadly. For me to get victory, it's up to me. Like, I gotta bear down. I gotta do more. I gotta follow through on this. It's my burden to bear. You say, well, we believe, but if we have an addiction, or if we're troubled by fear, or anger, or if we're caught in the spider's web of needing the approval of man, or if we're struggling to bring down some kind of giant in our life, then we're far too prone to want to do that work by ourselves. And we've mistakenly believed that it's up to us to conquer our giants. And that's why I think the twist in the story is that we've been led to believe that somehow we are the David in the story. That it's up to me to go after the giants in my life. But I'm here to tell you today that the David in our story is not you or I. That giant is big. He's powerful. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I want you to know our David, the offspring of Eve, that he is not just more powerful. He is the power. He is the one with all authority. He is the all-sufficient one. There is nothing that you and I face today that the power of Jesus has not already conquered by way of the cross. You see, if we truly want to change, then we need to understand our dependency on the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. You see, our change is more about trusting and less about trying. Some of you need to write that down. You see, my victory is not more with me trying harder, doing more. My victory comes by trusting in the finished work of Christ over my life. Whatever addiction, whatever challenge that I'm facing, whatever giant is out there, listen, it's not up to you. It's already been accomplished through the work of Jesus Christ. Listen, I might be struggling to get some amens here today because you don't really believe that. We live in a dependency lifestyle. You have this sense that the enemy has whispered into your life that you're not good enough. You're not able. You're trying. You got to try harder. Look what you've done. Look at your failures. And we live in this kind of rat wheel of this sense that we feel like it's been up to us, but I feel that we're just been inadequate, that I'm here I am again. Like, I feel like I get some victory for a while, but then there's the temptation. I slip, I fall. Listen, look what I did again. And we just live in this constant sense that our life is a mess. And it just implodes on ourselves that how despicable we are. And because we have a misplaced value on the story of the finished work of Christ. And rather than us to keep trying and trying, what I challenge each and every one of us today is start believing and start trusting in a God who is all powerful, has all authority, that is all sufficient over your life. So what if one day Jeff Bezos, one of the richest men in the world, what if he walked up to you one day and handed you a check, legit, for $1 billion? How many say, not a bad day? Not a bad day to start off the week, right? He wrote you a check. You put it in your pocket. And for the rest of your life, you walked around with a check. I mean, a legit check for $1 billion signed Jeff Bezos. Pretty awesome. But if you walked around your entire life, we would certainly say, theoretically, you're rich. Theoretically, you're a billionaire. But practically, what? You'd be as poor as you ever would be. Today, you're just as poor as you were yesterday and the day before and the day before. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says this: we have everything we need. We have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. We have everything that we need to live a life of freedom, a life of victory, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of hope. It has all been given to us by God's own power when we learned he had invited us in to share in his wonderful goodness. When we give our lives to Christ, when we join him, when we recognize I gotta stop depending on myself and I need to put my faith, I need to put my trust in a God who is with me, who is for me, who is above me, who's beside me, who lives with inside of me, who has authority, who is all sufficient. When I recognize the God in which I walk with, the God who has given me everything I need to live a life that pleases him, then I become rich. I become rich in him. I become whole in him. Christ has given me everything I need for my life. He has given me all joy. Somebody say yes. He has given me all value, all purpose, all hope, all comfort, all power to resist the temptation, all power to change. Why? Because there is none like our God. Why? Because I believe he is all, has all authority. I believe in his all sufficiency. I believe that he is the victor. I believe that he is king. So my task is what? My task with Christ is to cash the check. Stop walking around in the life of in between, in the valley of decision, understanding and knowing everything that Christ has done for us on the cross. And still, I give power and I give moment and I give opportunity for the giant in my life. What you are doing is you are walking around with the check of freedom uncashed in your pocket. Now, today is an opportunity for you to cash the check, to step into freedom and to believe that my giant is dead through the power of Jesus Christ, through the cross that now gives me all sufficiency, all authority through what Christ has done for me. The day for me to believe, when cashing that check, I'm saying that I believe that Jesus has everything that I need to live a full and free life. So I want to know, how many of you are walking around still with the check in your pocket? You see, it's not about trying, it's about trusting. It's about time to open up that wallet and take out the check that Jesus wrote when he died on the cross, to say all power, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. So that when you come to understand, to know him, when you ask Christ to come into your life, to say, you know what, I'm done being in charge. Today, Jesus, I want you to be not only the Savior of my soul, but I want you to be the King. I want you to be the Lord of my life. You see, when we do that, you're not giving up, you're gaining everything. You're walking into freedom. You're walking into the joy. You're walking into the victor of the King today, who has given us what? All joy, all value, all purpose, all hope, all comforts, all power to resist temptation, all power to change. So let me read the story to you, and I'm going to end today. It'll be a little bit of a gross ending. Is that all right? Might be a little uncomfortable, a little unsettling, a little unnerving for you today. So here's our story in 1 Samuel chapter 17, right from God's word. So David heads down into the valley. These thousands and thousands of Israelite soldiers are just kind of tucked away, kind of in the hills, and they've been shuddering and shaking for 40 days. David happens to show up on the scene one day, and he hears this giant. In fact, we're going to learn he's more than a giant. He's a champion warrior. We'll talk about that next week. And he's defying the God of Israel. He's cursing the name of Yahweh. He's letting Israel know that they might have had a history of God doing the miraculous in their life. They've heard tale of the Red Sea, the wilderness experiences, the water out of the rock, but that's just a part of their history. It's no longer a part of their present. And some of you have journeyed long enough to realize that your victory seems so far in the past, it's just a memory today. And this giant is screaming about the power of God that used to be in your life. The miracles that you used to walk in and believe in. The life you used to live. And it became just an everyday part of their life, that it became normal to have this giant defy God right to their face. And I know there'd be a lot of people in a lot of churches that say, well, Pastor, that would never happen to me, but it happens every day and it's happening today. You sit in church and yet you still allow the giant to have his voice over your life. And so Goliath started forward, and David, the Bible says, ran towards him. And he put a rock in his sling, and he swung the sling around by its straps. When he let go of one of the straps, a rock flew out and hit Goliath in the forehead, and it cracked his skull, and he fell face down on the ground. David defeated Goliath with a sling and a rock. He killed him without even using a sword. It's kind of interesting that the Bible continues to talk about our champion as what? Being the rock. Where do I go to when life is crazy? I go to the rock. Where is it when the winds and the waves buffet my life and want to throw me off course? What do I hold on to? I hold on to the rock. What is it when I go to build my life? Do I build it upon the shifting sands, where my foundation can be washed away, or I am like the wise man who builds his house on the rock. And this rock flies through the air, hits Goliath, and takes him to the ground. And the Bible says that David ran over to the giant, and he took his own swords, that which was a weapon of offense that he stood in defiance to the people of Israel, and he used it, and he cut off the head of the giant. The Bible says that he took all of Goliath's armament, his javelin, his weight of armor, his helmet, everything that the Bible story describes, and he took it and he carried it into his tent. But he took the head of the giant and he took it on a parade all the way to Jerusalem. This little boy standing down in the valley with the trophy of the victory that had happened in his life. And you might say, Pastor Jim, why such a gory finish on a Sunday morning? Why could David not just shout from the valley, "Giant down"? Why could he not just look back at the army to say, "Little shepherd boy, one, giant, zero"? Why is it that he put all of the armor in the tent, but he took the head of the giant and he paraded it all the way to Jerusalem? You see, David was driving home the point that he wanted everybody to know, without a shadow of a doubt, that your giant is dead. How many of you are picturing it with me today? How many of you are seeing today? Why such a gory finish? David wanted everybody to know that the giant is dead. After 40 days, David looked back to that Israelite army who had been hiding in the crevices of the rock day after day, listening and believing the words of their giant, that they could come out of their hiding places today. Why? Because their giant is dead. And I don't think that he just looked to the Israelite army, but I believe that he looked across the valley to the enemy that had put all of their trust in whatever it was that was bringing destruction to Israel, whatever fear, whatever intimidation, whatever the need of approval of man, whatever fear, whatever rejection, whatever addiction that we face. David held the head of the enemy, and he wanted to let the enemy know that their champion is dead. Listen, if there is something that I could leave with you today, is by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ, is that your giant is dead. Your giant is dead. You see, think about it. That same mouth that was taunting the living God a few moments ago, he ain't saying nothing now. That same God that he was defying a few moments ago, who's getting the last word now? You see, David wasn't about trying. David was about trusting. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that stands in the valley and blasphemes the very name of the living God? What giant is defying God's victory, God's freedom over your life, that you are allowing to let stand in the valley and shout his words against the power of the living God that is available for us today? David not only crushed the head of our enemy, but even greater, Jesus crushed the head of our enemy. Adriel can come and help me today with the guys. So let me give you this morning. What are some action steps for you and I to understand in this story, the power that God brings to us, that not only is our enemy dead, not only is our giant dead, But we realize that liberty and freedom and fullness is the reward of what Christ has made available for you and I. So here's what I want those of you that instantly can understand what I'm talking about when we talk about the giants in our life. What is holding us back from just going all in? What's holding us back from living life to the full? What lies, what intimidation are you still believing in light of the cross and the victory that Jesus has made available to each and every one of us? Why are you walking around with the check uncashed in your life? See, it's going to take a couple of weeks for us to get the fullness of this, but I want some of you to hear right now, because at the end of this series, we're going to celebrate with a water baptism service. You see, a water baptism service is nothing more than a public proclamation of the inward work that has happened inside of my life. And some of you are going to be able to shout, and some of you are going to be able to take the sword this time in the water baptism tank. And you're going to declare, you know what? I've been paralyzed by a giant for so long in my life, but I began to believe in the face of a giant that my giant has been dead by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I believe some of you are going to cash a check in the next couple of weeks that you're going to declare that my giant is dead. You see, another thing that water baptism does is that some of you, man, I love you, and you are living on the line, but you haven't crossed over yet. And you know that. You're trying to live right. I mean, you're coming to church every Sunday, but you haven't crossed over yet. You're like 99%, and that's awesome. But how many know it doesn't work until you're 100%? And some of you right now are feeling, Pastor Jim, I would get in a tank, but I can't because I don't have it all together yet. Because there's still that one part I'm still struggling with. You know what that is? It's the giant. It's the giant. And what that tells me today, what that tells you, listen, we're all adults in here, is that the giant is winning. You see, because the truth is if Jesus isn't everything, then Jesus is nothing. Listen, some of you are ready today, but this is going to keep building in the next couple of weeks. There's going to be some testimonies coming. Some of you right now are believing. Some of you are getting the check out of the pocket. It's time to cash the check. It's time to go all in. You say, I don't know what my friends are going to say. I'm here to tell you, what is Jesus going to say? Right? What does Jesus want to say? Jesus wants to say, it's time. In fact, Jesus is saying, it's about time. Hello? It's about time. It's not about being ready to get baptized. It's about declaring, I need to go all in. I need to declare that Jesus, He's my everything. So here's what we got to do. We can't conceal the head of the enemy anymore. We need to confess it. You see, the problem we recognize is when we confess, the power loses its hold over our life. I want to caution those of you that are in life groups, but I want to challenge some of our life group leaders that maybe not this week, that we got to be careful. We have to be spiritual in this moment, but in the confines and in the loving environment of your life group is that everyone needs to be challenged. There needs to be a moment of confession over the giants in your life. So those of you that are leaders here, I'll caution you that we're not just opening it up like for some crazy thing. No, this is a spiritual, a highly spiritual moment. Why? Because some people have been still being affected by the head. Listen, the body of our enemy, it might still be wiggling, but I want you to know he's dead. He's dead. And it's time to confess this giant that has been wrecking your life. Man, there's great freedom that comes in confession. There's great freedom that comes when I know that I'm a part of people that love me, that are believing in what God wants to do in my life. And here's the second really important part for every one of us that are in here today, every one of us that'll be in a group. I 100% believe in the miraculous. I think most of you know that. But your giant might not disappear in an instant. His head was crushed, but his body still wiggles. Are you with me? And so although I believe in the miraculous, and I would pray that, and I would believe that for each and every one of us, but I know that some of you have been walking in addiction and challenge for so long that you continue to feel the wiggle. And so we realize that although our giant is dead, that he might not disappear instantly. You see, the enemy still wants to defy us. He still wants to shout that he has power and authority over your life. He still might want to show you how big and powerful he is. And so that's where worship comes in. That's where our worship reminds us that no matter how big our giant is, my God is bigger. No matter what lies the enemy is telling me, I know my God is the God of truth. And although the enemy says, I'm still going to love to be in my sin, I'm going to realize that I got to find out what true love is all about, what true honest love is all about. True honest love calls me out of the darkness and brings me into the light of the gospel, right? It's the honesty that we have because we are the benefactor of our champion, Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate warrior. He is the ultimate champion in your life. I want you to stand with me this morning. Listen, church, this morning is an opportunity for you and I to understand that our giant is dead. It's time for you to start walking and believing and understanding to know that I serve the champion. I serve the warrior. We were sharing as a team before church began. How do we finish a service like this? How do we finish today in light of a series that we're going to be in for the next couple of weeks, recognizing that this giant of fear, of rejection, of addiction, of intimidation that has ravaged so many lives for so long, and yet we are going to present today is a day of confession. Today is a day of not just believing it, but acting on it. Today is a day of not just walking around with a check, but today's a day to cash the check. Today's a day for me to stop trying and to start a day for me to start trusting in the finished work of Christ. So listen, I don't know where you're at today, so I'm not going to beg you, plead you. I'm not going to intimidate you. I'm not going to try to work my way. All I'm simply saying today is that as we finish today, as we so powerfully worship, no mistake today that this house was filled with worship. There was a complete setup to this word for us to realize, what does worship do? Worship puts our focus where it needs to be, on Christ and on the cross. And so as wonderfully and powerfully as we sang it a few moments ago, we're going to finish. And I don't know what that means for you. Maybe you just need to stand there with your hands up. Maybe you need to just come to the altar. Maybe you need to confess. I don't know what that is, but you need to respond today. You need to recognize today that this giant is dead in my life. And I'm going to sing it. I'm going to shout it. I'm going to worship it. I'm going to declare it. I'm going to show signs of victory that God has allowed me to come over it. So whatever it is, that's how we're going to finish today. So I want you to worship him. I want us to put Jesus with all authority, with with the all-sufficiency of Christ. Some of you that have been at 99.9%, listen, get out of that and get on the bus, get on the train, and begin to declare that God is my victor today, that he is my ultimate champion today. Amen? So come on, Adriel and the team's going to lead us. I want you to just have full expression today. Come into fullness. Come into freedom of who Jesus is today. Amen?
See my victory. I want to see a victory.
Hallelujah.
For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Come on, church, today.
I want to see a victory.
Come on, let's get the sword of the Lord out today.
See
authority. I am all sufficient in Christ. I have everything I need because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. Lord, I sing hallelujah. I sing all praise, all glory and honor to the King. Come on, one last time, church. Let's declare it on our way out of this place. Let's declare the name of Jesus. Let's go in the authority and the power of Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless your name.
Hallelujah.
Jesus and the work of the cross today. Lord, that we declare it is finished along with our champion, along with our ultimate warrior. That when he ushered those last words, they were the last words that we needed to hear. They're the only words that we needed to hear. That the power of the enemy, that it is finished. That the work of the giant in our life, that it is finished. Today, Jesus, we believe that you who are beginning a good work in us, Lord, that you are going to bring it to completion. Lord, that what you are starting for us to believe today, Lord, that as our giant is dead, and over these next few weeks, he might be wiggling, but God, we recognize his power and his authority is over in our life, that it is finished because of the cross of Jesus Christ. So I pray, Lord, that our church will walk in freedom. Lord, it will walk in trusting and not trying. Today, Lord, we give it to you. Today we speak victory, Lord, over that giant in our life. We're going to continue to speak that in the weeks to come. We're going to continue to say it. We're going to continue to shout it. God, we're going to continue to go after our enemy. We're going to see that he's dead. We're going to let the enemy know that he's dead. He no longer lives. Today, that Jesus today is bringing new life into my life. So I had this thought just as Pastor Bailey was coming up and praying for us just a few moments ago, that there were moments in the New Testament, especially in the life of Paul and his missionary journeys and those that were realizing that the blessing that God was giving to them beyond the victory of the cross was the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit to infuse them and fill them with dynamite power. And there were moments, you'll read it throughout the book of Acts, where the apostles, where they met with groups like you, and the Bible says they breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And my blessing to you today is not from me, but from the power of the Holy Spirit today, is that he wants to breathe on you. He wants you to receive the Holy Spirit today. He wants you to receive the Spirit in power, in belief, in authority, in victory today. His living power to go within you today. So I want to send you out. And like the apostles did to the early church, I want to bless you and I want to breathe over you the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you to seek the blessing of the Holy Spirit in your life this week. I want you to declare. I want you to cast a check. Amen. I want the Holy Spirit to invest in you today. So God, let all power, let all blessing, let all authority and love, let all joy and victory, Lord, let it be received. Lord, let it be embodied today. Lord, let it be infused into life. Lord, here today, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, oh Lord, our God and our Redeemer today. Thank you, Jesus, for your victory. Thank you for the victory that we have today in Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you, Real Life. Thank you so much for joining with us today. Go with the presence of God today. Amen. Go with his victory today. God bless you.